Today, we start a new series. We're going to work our way through the minor prophets. Basically, what we are going to do is we are going to spend 1 week in each one of the books. And so today, we're going to look at the book of Hosea. So if you want, you can turn your Bibles there and kind of mark it because we'll just work our way through. It is one of the longer of the books, of the minor prophets. It's 14 chapters. So be ready because today we're covering 14 chapters.
Yes.
And as I was listening, you're going to love this. On my computer, I can go to Bible Gateway, and I can type in Hosea, and it will go to chapter 1, and it will read to you from the book of Hosea. And then I can follow along, and so I can be reading while it's reading, and they actually, you can select one of them where it will change voices for you. So when God's speaking, you get one voice, and when Hosea is speaking, you get another voice, and it's really cool to do that. So I was doing that with one sitting, so I'm sitting there going through all 14 chapters and listening to it, and what you get is you get this picture, you get this idea of a grieving lover urging for the return of his beloved one, the one who has left him for other loves, for other pursuits. Despite this infidelity, the lover, he was unrelenting. He's determined to pay any price that would bring his loved one back to him. Hosea, it is a story of a broken vow, a broken home, a broken heart, and a broken life. You see, God has chosen to reveal this sad story through a broken-hearted prophet, so that he, the prophet, and his people will understand what it is that God is going through, God's faithfulness, and God's unrelenting love. You see, God, he never ever gives up on his people. God, he never gives up on you. There are other people, they might shrug you off, they might give up on you. You might even give up on yourself. But God, he will never give up on you. The setting for the story of Hosea, it takes place in the city of Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. Hosea, he's a young preacher, and he's led by God to woo and to win and to marry a young woman. Her name is Gomer. Her past, it wasn't very good. Matter of fact, it was a fairly shady past. But God had brought them together. And since God had brought them together, Hosea is thinking, our future is going to be filled with happiness. It's going to be filled with delight. But he was wrong. She left him. She prostituted herself out. She sold herself to other people. She went after other lovers. And Hosea, he is left at home with three children. Each one of them were given a name that points to this tragedy. Their first child was a son. They named him Jezreel, which means judgment. The second child is a girl. The middle child is a girl. They name her Lo Ruhamah, which means not loved. And finally, their third child, a son, and they name him Lo Ami, which means not my people. Judgment, not loved, not my people. Even though Gomer was at home for a while, her heart was never there. She betrayed her husband's devotion. Can you just imagine the gossip that must have been going around town, going around the village there? How could you, a religious man, a holy prophet, have gotten a woman like this? How could you have married someone like this? You see, Hosea, he now understands the heart of God, the heart that God has for his people. Because how could you, a holy and righteous God, tolerate people like us, unfaithful, sinners, sinful. But you see, now that Gomer is gone, maybe Hosea is better off. But Hosea, he never gave up on her. Even though she had left the home, she had never, ever left his heart. He was determined to have her back. No matter what it is she had done, no matter where she had been. And in Hosea chapter 3, at verse 1, the Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites." Even though she has other lovers, go and get her back. Hosea, he goes and he has to buy her back. Apparently she has fallen into some slavery and she's being sold down at the city, the center of the city. He has to buy her back. And he pays the price to get her back. But you say in your mind, you're sitting there going, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense that this man, Hosea, would go and pay to keep a woman who has already betrayed him. She has been unfaithful to him. And why would he go and buy her back? And that's right. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense that God would pay such a high price to buy us back. But he did. You see, that's unconditional love. That's grace. Because we are like Gomer. As she is described in Hosea chapter 2 at verse 5, their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, "I will go after my lovers, who gave me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink." In verse 8 of chapter 2, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. If you're sitting there right now and you're sitting there tempted to pass judgment on Gomer, I want to remind you that that is exactly the way you and I have acted in our lives. You see, it is from the hand of God that we receive life's rich blessings. You know, the food on our table, the clothes for our body, a warm place to live, even the vehicles that we drive around. And yet how easily we go and we thank ourselves or even other people, everyone else. Everyone except the God who has provided them. We'll go and we'll take time to thank our government. We'll thank our company, our families, our friends, even ourselves. You know, we go and we thank our good skills, the abilities we have, our wisdom, our strength. Everyone and everything except the God from whom all blessings flow. We spend time giving thanks to everything except God. And last week, we had the opportunity in our service to share some of the blessings that God has shared with us. I thought it was a great time. I enjoyed it. But you see, despite all the times that we'll go and thank everyone except God and we just kind of ignore God, He still loves us. And He pays to save us. Hosea chapter 3 at verse 3. Hosea tells Gomer, "You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you." Basically, Hosea is saying, "I have bought you, and now I want you to be with me. I want you to be faithful to me. And I promise you that whether you're faithful to me or not, I will be faithful to you." You see, Hosea is playing the part with Gomer that God played with all of us, with you in your life. You see, God doesn't love you because of what you do. God always loves you in spite of what you do. God doesn't love you because of what you are. He always loves you in spite of what you are. When you can understand, when you can come to grips with how much God loves you, then you can respond to Him with love and with devotion. If you remember nothing else from this morning, from the book of Hosea, remember this. God always loves you. Now, it's not an easy lesson for some of us to learn. You see, we bring from our old lifestyle, from our old self, this bookkeeping mentality. You know, I'll do a certain thing for you, and then you'll do a certain thing for me, and I'll do a certain thing for you, and you do a certain thing for me. And we're trying to somehow keep record of who owes who and what I've done for you or what you've done for me. But you see, that's not the gospel. That's not what the gospel is about. God, He would not and He could not love you any more than He loves you right now. It is the love that you would feel. If somehow you could stand beneath the cross with Jesus hanging there dying for you, and you could look up at Him and He would look down at you and you could see it in His eyes, the love that He has for you. The favor that God bestows upon us is without merit. There is nothing that you can do to earn it. There is nothing that you can do for it. It is a gift that He's given to you. Again, God does not love you because of what you are. God does not love you because of what you do. He loves you in spite of what you are or what you do. And when that dawns on you, when you can truly grab it, when you can truly hold on to it, when you can truly get a grip with how much God loves you, then you can respond. See, there are no strings attached to God's love. It is unconditional. And when you really, really hold on to that, you can respond in love, worship, with praise, and with service. You'd be excited to come to church on Sunday morning where you get to spend time with God and you can worship Him and you can be in His presence and you can love Him as much as He loves you. There's a story that's told of a Chinese man. His name is Ba Yang Li. He was a Christian and he lived in his hometown of Dongbai, China. And he was moving from there and he moved to Singapore. First time out of his home city, his home village, and he moved to Singapore, which is this humongous city. He knew nobody. He knew nothing. He found an apartment where he could stay in, and he was working at a restaurant. The restaurant has all these really weird hours. Had to work different days and stuff like that. Any of you who are in the restaurant business, you know that. He had been there for several months, and because of his work schedule, he was not able to go to church on Sunday morning. And one day on his day off, he decided that he was going to leave his apartment and go in the city and see if he could find a church. So he went down the street. He was walking around looking for a church. Finally, he found a church. And he went up and he opened the door. Big sanctuary. Big, big sanctuary. And he walked in and it was empty. No one in there. And as he slowly makes his way in, the pastor, Reverend Low, he comes out because he heard somebody come out and he see him. And this man, Ba Yang Li, he said, "Hey, I just want to know if I could spend some time in here in worship." The pastor gave him permission, said, "Sure, you can use it." And so he went away off to his office to do some things. It had been a while. He decided he was going to go back and check on Mr. Li. So he goes in, he opens one of the back doors of the sanctuary, and he looks in, and Mr. Li, what he had done, the sanctuary was large, and what he had done, he's walked up to the altar, to the front, and he had taken his shoes off before he even walked up on the altar. And he walked up there, and there was this cross that was hanging up in the top of the altar up here, and he had moved up close to the cross, because sitting way back there just seemed so far from God. He wanted to be close to God. And so he moves up here. He's taking his shoes off and he moves all the way up and he has a chair set down. And on the chair, he had his Bible and he had a hymnal. And he was on his knees right there at the cross, and he was worshiping, and he was praising, he was raising his hands, he was clapping. He was worshiping God. He was so in love with God and didn't want to be so far away, so he'd moved close. After that, every week on his day off, he would make his way to this church where he could spend time worshiping God, spend time with God. Now, I understand that you can worship God wherever you're at. You can do it at your home. You can do it while you're driving in your car. You can worship God anywhere and everywhere. But there is something about being able to come into God's house, being in the stillness, in the quietness, in the presence of God. When you can come to grips with that, when you can understand that, then you truly worship God and spend time in His presence. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? And are you in love with Him? You see, God loves you and He never gives up on you. He just will not give up on you. You see, as men, as humans, we like to say, "Where are you, God? Show me where you are. Show me who you are." As if somehow God is lost or is nowhere to be found. And the answer that we find from the book of Hosea is that God isn't lost. We are. We are the ones who are off. We are the ones who are lost. He pursues us. And He pursues us because we are always running away from Him. If you read through the Bible, there are story and story where God is pursuing after His people. He is relentless in His pursuit of us, and we always go off after other lovers, after other things. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. In a desert land, He found Him. In a barren and howling waste, He shielded Him and cared for Him. He guarded Him as the apple of His eye. Rabbi Zacharias, he wrote it and he illustrates it this way. He says, the Lord loves you so much that He wants you to draw close to Him. Come closer, he says. Come closer. And you move closer and closer. So close until you can see your reflection in the pupil of His eyes. Where are you, Lord? Right here, He would say. Right here. Where are you? And what makes God do that? What makes Jesus do that for us? It is because love. His love never gives up. Now, I have to admit, I'm not 100% there yet. At times, I find it difficult to keep going to someone. You know, you've reached out to them, you've shared with them, you've tried to help them, and they don't respond the way that you want them to, and you're like, oh, is it really worth it? I'm not sure I want to do this. There's nothing good happening through all of this. But you see, what is lacking there is love. There is too much self in it. Self-love, self-interest, or selfish goals. But God's love, it is not like that. God's love is unconditional. And Hosea, he understood that firsthand with his love for his wife, Gomer. Are we preoccupied? You know, by self-love or self-adoration? Jesus, in you, could love a Gomer. Now, I don't know where you are at this morning in your walk with Christ. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never experienced that love that Jesus has for you, that God has for you. Today could be that day. All you have to do is say yes and take that step toward Him, and God, He will come running for you with arms wide open. He is just waiting. He's a gentleman. He will not force Himself on you. He cannot force you to love Him. But He loves you so much and he wants you to love him back. And when you will take that first step, he will come running to you, and he can be your Lord and your Savior. Now, maybe you accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe it was yesterday or last week. Maybe it was 20 years ago. And somewhere along the way, you started chasing after some other lover, some other interest, some other things, and you're kind of out there going, God, where are you? Again, he's standing right there. He is just waiting. All you have to do is to take that first step toward him. And again, he will come running to you. There is no doubt about that. And God can forgive you. And he will forgive you. And he will restore you. And he will run and wrap his loving arms around you. Because God has a relentless love for us, each and every one of us. Do you know and have you experienced that relentless love?